thank you, Father God, that everyone is going to receive the specific thing you have for them this morning, that you are not limited by the content of the message. God, you're only limited by us. So I pray that we would be open, have open hearts this morning to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So glad to be with you this morning. As many of you know, Pastor Stan's on sabbatical, so hopefully he's got his feet kicked up this morning, relaxing with some grandbabies. So I'm with you this morning as Pastor Dwayne's in-between series, but I'm going to be talking to you about supernatural families. And so I love this picture up here on the screen. And you might notice, even though it's our backs, who that family is. But I love this picture because it's a great picture of God's design, right? So first you have the husband and wife, right? And they're looking at each other. And then you have, and this wasn't like how everybody's heads are turned, wasn't planned. Then you have the son looking up at the dad, right? And you have the older girl making sure the little girl's okay, making sure she's not tripping. They're looking out for each other. And it's a great picture of God's design. Now, I'm not here up here today on this stage because I've got it all together. So let's just have some clarity before we get rolling. I'm not up here because my family is the best. I am competitive, though, so we can debate it. But it's not. And it's not like this is the perfect image of our family all the time, right? So on the way to this park where we took this picture in Tennessee, there was probably some pinching and some hitting. Somebody probably got mad at somebody, yelled at somebody, who knows? That was a long time ago, I don't remember. But the chances are pretty good that something happened like that. But this is a great picture, a great vision of what that looks like. And it sits in our living room. It's a big frame in our living room. And I love that it's there because when things aren't going well or my kids aren't behaving like adults, we expect them sometimes to behave like adults, right? When they're behaving like kids and sometimes heathenistic kids, this is a great image that reminds me that is not who my children are. Well, more on that later. But I just want to address, there may be some people in here this morning that either currently or in the past are dealing with condemnation. And just seeing supernatural families in this picture up there, you're already feeling condemned today. And so I want to address that first because I want you to receive what God has for you today. And there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And I want to help you separate the difference between condemnation and conviction. Because the enemy wants you to believe, see, condemnation is counterfeit conviction. So he wants you to believe that what you're getting is conviction and it's condemnation. Because condemnation says you're dumb, you're stupid, you should have never done that. You need me around so you won't do that anymore. But conviction's different. Conviction says you're better than that. You're better than that. You can do better. There's more in you. Conviction always brings you up. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It doesn't bring you down. It brings you up. Amen? And so if you're in here this morning, and there's going to be many points and many things I want to say, and you may feel condemned, or you may have regrets, because maybe you didn't do this or you didn't do that, let me tell you something. Regret is a marker that tells you something. And let it be that. Don't let it go to condemnation. Don't let it go to guilt. Okay, that's how the enemy wants to stunt your growth. So as we go through today, just remember that whatever you didn't do, whatever way you failed, you feel like you failed, that there is redemption. And God can restore all things. And I'll never forget in the Passion of the Christ when Jesus is carrying the cross and he falls down. And then Mary remembers when he was a little boy. And she remembers him falling down and her running to his rescue. And she has that image in her brain. And so she's running to Jesus' rescue again. And she gets to Jesus' side as he's on the ground. And Jesus looks at her and says, "Mother, I make all things new." Listen, Jesus makes all things new. You may have grown kids this morning, and you may have failed with them when they were younger. Jesus makes all things new. He takes all of our mistakes and all of our failures, and he can restore and bring life. So don't quit. Don't live in the past and live in regret and live in guilt. You start believing because you have power. Amen? Okay. That's the first part of my introduction. So supernatural families. Hold on. So let me say something first. That's the hook, right? You're like, blah, blah, blah. So you got to wait till I read it, guys. So when you see supernatural families, just because, now I already kind of set you up, but just because you don't have kids in the home, this still applies to you. Because family is one of our core values at Victory Life Church. And it's family as in family, right? Me and my kids. It's family as in family. Y'all ever heard the saying, it takes a village to raise a family? That's true. Because I don't have everything. I don't got it all together. I am still growing and I have weaknesses. And so I need you. I need you to help me. There's things I can't see. I need awareness of the things that I can't even see. And I need you to help me. I need you to bring awareness to those things. And I also need you to pour into my kids the things that I can't give them, that I'm lacking in. So this family, so you don't get to check out today, I'm sorry. You're a part of this family. This family is a covenant family. And we're in this together, and we got to create a safe place and a safe environment for families to come in who are imperfect and who struggle. We got to create a safe place for us to help them and mentor them. Man, if you're in the sage generation and you've raised your kids and now you got grandbabies, then you need to be pouring in to those moms and dads who are still raising their kids. We need your wisdom. We need your knowledge. We don't want to make the same mistakes. So we're all engaged this morning, amen? Okay. This is why this matters. The church is the bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. And the fruit is a transformed, reconciled world. Okay, hold on. Let me read it again. The church is the bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. And the fruit is a transformed, reconciled world. Oh, the world's a terrible place. Yep, sure is. What are we doing about it? Because the only way, the sole way that God chooses to transform the world is his church. And Jesus is the bride, and we're the bridegroom. We're the bride, and Jesus is the bridegroom. Just make sure you're paying attention. So we should be seeing a fruit of a transformed world, a transformed city, transformed cities. We represent a lot of cities in here. We should be seeing our cities transformed. So, why do you think it is? Why is the world a terrible place? Divorce. We're not just talking about divorce as in marriage. We're talking about divorce. Okay, the enemy has hijacked God's creation because we've allowed him to. And what he's done is he's tried to get us to divorce from God, reject God, divorce that relationship. Then he's attacked the family, which is the best reflection of God, the home, marriage, split the family up, right? And then he's trying to divorce the church. So we divorce the church and we go down somewhere else. In our covenant as a church, divorce is not an option. We're in covenant together. We're in this together. And if things get tough, we're going to work it out. Okay, so this is important today. So what do you think of when you hear supernatural? So that word, supernatural. What do you think of? What pops in your head? Some of you may think of signs and wonders, right? The supernatural. Man, we want the supernatural. I think of Jesus and performing miracles, right? Here's what I think of. Boom. Listen, you got to have the super and the natural coming together. We're natural. He's super. We are not super. Jesus said, no one is good but the Father, not even me. Only the Father is good. Only the Father is super. And when the super and the natural come together, awesome things happen. That's a supernova. It's a light so bright, I don't know how many galaxies away because I'm not a scientist, but way the heck out there, and it's so bright we see it on Earth. When the super and the natural come together, we shine so bright, it can be seen all around. Amen? And so what we've got to do is we've got to transform our minds. Because the Bible says that in a race, all runners run. Run in such a way so that you win the prize. Well, a lot of times we're too focused on a prize, a trophy, a reward, someone to recognize us, someone to tell us, good job. I'm looking for God to tell me good job. Because listen, when you run this race for God, when you're running towards Him, you're the natural, and you're sprinting towards God, and He's coming at you just as fast. The further and the faster you go, the deeper you go. Listen, think about when we launch things into space. Okay, it's amazing. The Earth is amazing. Like, the Earth's atmosphere, like, I don't even know. I can't even comprehend that. Not that smart, okay? My IQ is not that high to comprehend the Earth's atmosphere and the gravitational pull and how you have to go a certain speed to get off of the Earth's gravitational pull so you can get through the Earth's atmosphere and collide, okay? So you got to be running so fast and so hard towards the super, which is God, that you collide with Him. And the result and the prize is you get more of Jesus. You get more of God to where this no longer is the natural superseding the super, but the super is superseding the natural, and the super should be invading your space and your mind and your body and your soul to where that you are creating electricity. So we're going to get to families. Just let me calm down. Supernatural. Because, see, we've become a new kind of human. Oh, what are we, like aliens? What? We have become a new kind of human. So this is Selah. Think about it. So let me show you why. Ephesians 2, 14 and 15. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, dividing wall of hostility by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity, new humans, out of the two, thus making peace. Oh, they're both in there. So He has created a new kind of human. And if you read further up in this verse, chapter, then you'll see it's talking about Jews and Gentiles. And bringing those two together. There's no more separation. That means you are in the lineage. You're a child of God. You're a new human. Now, here's the challenge. Some of us ask Jesus in our heart, the Holy Spirit, which is God, the most powerful force in the universe, became and lived inside of you. But some of us are still acting like the old human. Some of us are still thinking like the old human in different ways. Some ways we're thinking like the new human, some ways we're thinking like the old human still, right? So we've got to act like a new human. That happens by renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. Romans 12, 1. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That by testing, hold up, by testing? I'll snap. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God. So there's got to be a testing for you to be able to discern what the will of God is. In this world, you will have troubles. what is good and acceptable and perfect. Listen, don't be conformed, be transforming. It's a process, guys. When you got saved, when you asked Jesus in your heart, when the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of you, that's one third of your being. There's still two thirds. And that spirit needs to be invading the other two thirds of your being. Great Dwayne message. Okay, it's got to be invading the other two thirds, and it happens by renewing your mind. Renewing your mind, it's a process, constantly, constantly. You're going to be in that process for the rest of your life. So jump in. The problem is so many times it gets uncomfortable, and we get scared, and so we jump out. Like, ooh, back out for a minute. I don't know if I can take that. So I'm not going to preach on that. I'm setting the stage. If you want to hear more on living a transformed life, this Wednesday, Pastor Frankie will be finishing up with part two of his series. Shameless plug. You owe me one, Frankie. Where does it start? So where does it start? Supernatural families. It starts with marriage. Healthy husband and wife relationship. A lot of people have believed a lie. And that is that their kids come first. And they put their kids first. The kids come first. We got to do this for the kids. We got to do this for the kids. And they negate their relationship. They don't invest in their relationship. And then what happens is they end up living separate lives. And it's all revolved around the kids. Well, let me tell you something. When that happens, then separation happens. Because you feel like you don't even know your spouse anymore. These are all statements that come up in marriage counseling, right? Go do the research. It's all there. We feel like we're living two separate lives. I don't even know them anymore. I don't love them anymore. That's because you've believed a lie. The marriage is first. And it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple because God created Adam, right? And male and female were in Adam. Adam was created in God's image. Male and female were in Adam. And God opened Adam's side and pulled Eve out. So he pulled the female out of Adam. So, and he built Eve. And she's a beautiful creation. So insert Eve for your wife's name. So now we have a husband and a wife. Before there was even a marriage ceremony and a thing you go to the courthouse and get, before all that, there was a marriage ceremony, and God defined marriage. And God never released the ability to define marriage. God never gave that territory over to man. He gave us authority on this earth, but he didn't give us the authority to change his design for marriage. Okay? But the enemy's constantly trying to do that. Ever since, he's been trying to destroy it. He's trying to destroy the marriage relationship because it reflects God. And he hates God. He hates God. And therefore, he hates you because you're in his image. And the way that you reflect his image the most is when a husband and a wife come together and what was once one, Adam, Eve pulled out of Adam, now is two. That's why when you get married, you become one again. And so he's trying to destroy it. And then you create life. God gave us the ability to create life, to be just like him. And we come together in intimacy, and it's a beautiful thing. And life is created. Fruit, right? Our kids. And our kids are in our image. Y'all ever heard that? Man, that boy is spitting image of you right there. Can't tell me how many people have told me, man, your son looks just like you. They're in our image. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's not a good thing. And I'm not talking about looks. I ain't talking about looks. Y'all stop thinking carnal. Talking about the way you behave and the way you act. We'll get more on that later. Don't worry. You ain't getting out of here without some conviction. Not condemnation. Okay. So if you're not married here today, then Jesus is your husband. Whether you're a male or a female. But here's the problem. Some people have had addiction and lust as their spouse. And addiction and lust is an abusive, unloving spouse. Listen, we've got to date Jesus. If you are not married, you need to be dating Jesus. Because if you can pour into that relationship and you can figure out how to do that relationship well, then when you get married to your spouse and they've been doing the same thing, it's going to go well. That don't mean there won't be struggles. Okay? Me and Kathy did that. Okay? We dated Jesus. And then we dated each other and got married. In a pure relationship. That means we didn't have sex before marriage. Just so you don't need to clap. That should be normal. So no condemnation. Don't go there. Don't get condemned if you had sex before marriage. Don't do it. Okay? My one of my siblings had sex before marriage when she was a teen. Dang it. When they were a teenager. It's okay. I got three of them, so you ain't going to figure out which one it was. But they had sex before marriage. And then they found the spouse of their dreams. And they came to my mom beforehand and confessed what they had done. And said, man, I want it to be like it was the first time when I get married. Because I know I made a mistake. And you know what? They prayed. And you know what happened? Redemption. God restored her so that it was like the first time. So, no condemnation. Don't go there. Don't let the enemy lie to you. But we've got to stop dating lust and addiction. You know what I found out the other day? So they've done research. And they've done brain scans. And they've discovered when you look at someone who's done heroin and you look at someone who's looked at porn, that they can't tell a difference in the damage to the brain. Listen, pornography is a lie. It's a lie. And if you struggle with that, if you're in that, it's an abusive, unloving relationship. And it's only to destroy you. And destroy your brain even. Right? Listen, I know. I struggled with pornography when I was a teenager. Oh, snap. Did you just say that? Hey, let's just keep it real. But guess what? I got set free. And guess what? I prayed for years for God to restore my brain. Restore my brain. Get those images out of my head because I don't want that trash. And he can do it for you too. But you got to stop dating it. Start dating Jesus. So, we have to realize that we, parents, are the filters through which our children view the God of the universe. We're the filter. When I had my first child, my son, I'll never forget. I was praying and seeking God about my son that was going to be born. And God spoke to me. I wrote it in my journal. And he said, you are going to be the way that your son views me. How your son views me is going to be based on you. Man, that's tough. That's heavy. Right? Me, an imperfect human. First time dad. But it rocked my world. And it got me ready to be a dad. Because I know that until he is old enough to comprehend and understand, the way he's going to connect with God is how he connects with me. The way he's going to view God is how he views the relationship, the authority in his life that I am. And you know what's tough? I've messed up. Have I been the best dad? No. Have I done well in a lot of things? Yes. I'm not going to have this ridiculous, unrealistic view of myself. I've done a lot of things well. And I've done some things that are messed up. And I've treated my kids in ways that I shouldn't. And I've said things that I shouldn't. But I'm not living in condemnation. He makes all things new. And every seed that I planted that was a weed in my kid's life, God can uproot. But if you give up and you quit, they're going to stay in the soil of their hearts. And I'm going to be honest with you. There is seed in some of my kids' hearts, and I'm still working to uproot. But we got to have awareness. We got to realize that they're going to view God through us. Pastor Dwayne, our parenting sets the rhythms of our children's relationship with God. Our parenting sets the rhythms of our children's relationship with God. And Pastor Dwayne just came up with an awesome series of Children as Arrows. If you weren't here for all of it, you missed some of it, you missed all of it, man, go to the app, go to PastorDwayne.com, and listen to it. It's awesome. Because I ain't re-preaching it. I do have a couple points from it, but. So it all starts with a foundation laid over the past 7 weeks, as Dwayne taught, children as arrows. So the first thing, first question I have for you, what are we speaking over our kids? Or not speaking? So we know God's word talks about our words. Proverbs 18:21 talks about life and death is in the power of the, and those that love it. Basically, you're going to get the fruit of what comes out of your tongue. So if you keep speaking over your kids, I ain't going to say all the things we say. We say some dumb stuff. I'm with you. I don't want to be with you. I'm going to forge the way and go ahead. I'm going to watch what I say, but we say some stupid stuff. We got to watch what we say. Our words are powerful. And I was just talking to my son about this yesterday because they had a football game, 5th and 6th grade, and they show up. You know what he says? We're going to lose. Why? Oh, we're playing the whatever the team's name is. They were good last year. Then his teammates show up. Oh, man, they're big. Reminds me of the Israelites. Oh, we be as grasshoppers. I said ants in first service. Whoops. We be as grasshoppers. That's even worse than grasshoppers, right? In their eyes. So what happened? We got spanked. Should we have got spanked? No. They were scared. And they spoke death. Remember, death is not death. There's all different forms of death. Anything that's not health and life is death. Okay? Any form that's not victory, that's death. It leads to death. And it may just be a little spot, but it leads to it. And so I had a great opportunity to say, hey, remember what you said? Remember that? Did you know our words have power? How did God create the universe? And he was being a little smart, so he didn't give the answer that he knew. But with words, our words have power. We can use them for powerful things over our kids. So in order to speak, we have to be able to first see something different. Listen, it feels like 95% of the time my kids are acting like brats. Selfish. Feels like. But our feelings will lie to us. If we really sat down and charted it out and calculated all the good they do, we'd be like, oh man, that's a lot better than I thought. We tend to focus on the negative. We have to start seeing something different. And the hardest moments to see something different is when they're acting the worst. And you're like, man, how did the devil get a hold of my children? It's in those moments we got to see something different. It's in those moments we got to remember the vision. It's in those moments we got to remember what we have spoken over our children. You got to speak over your children. And I've been speaking over my children, I say almost, because obviously I've missed some nights, but almost every night, God has given me a prophetic word for all of my children, and I've been speaking that over them every night. You got to speak over your children. The last thing I want them to hear before they close their eyes and go into dreamland is that they're loved. So I pray. I pray all this other stuff about God protecting them from disease and all this kind of stuff, right? And at the end, it's the same thing. I love you. You're my, and then whatever special name I call each of them. I'm going to love you forever no matter what. If they have security, no matter what mistake they make, I'm going to love them. You're going to do awesome things for God. And one of them, you're going to be a peacemaker. That's the word of the Lord over that child. You're going to sing beautiful songs and bring joy to lots of people. And you're going to stand up and declare, the Lord is my God, and remove evil away from your midst. So listen, when things are rough, when our kids make mistakes, when they do a piece of stupid, and they don't act like adults, when they act like kids and they act selfish because they don't have, haven't cultivated the fruit of self-control much yet. Okay? And they act like that, I got to remember what I've been speaking over them. And so when my son, who is strong-willed, I don't know if there's another word for that, but it seems like strong-willed isn't strong enough. But when he is strong-willed and acts like, I got to remember, he's going to stand up and declare the word of the Lord and remove evil from his midst. Just like Elijah did in the Bible when he stood up and nobody else was standing up. And there's 300 prophets of Baal, and they're all worshiping Baal, and he makes a deal with them. And he gets froggy. He's like, let's just dump water all over this stuff. And then he starts joking with them. That's what my son would do. Oh, maybe your God can't hear you. Maybe you should talk louder. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's going to the bathroom. Yeah, my son's quick-witted. He would say that. Because I know when I pray, my God is going to send fire down from heaven. He's going to light this place up. And then when we're finished, I'm going to destroy all these prophets of Baal. But my son ain't going to be killing anybody. So, you're going to stand up and declare the word of the Lord and remove evil from your midst. Because one day, I have to remember, when he acts like, I got to remember, one day, I got to see it in him. When I can't see with my natural eyes, I got to look in him and I got to see it in him, because one day he's going to stand up in front of powerful people and people that can try to destroy his life. And he's going to look him in the face and just say, no, I'm not doing it. I'm going to do what God says I'm going to do. I don't care what you try and do to me. But that's for mine. You got to get it for yours, and you got to speak it. You got to remind yourself of it. Speak life. Speak life. When you want to speak death, guys, I want to speak death. I want to speak junk. I want to ask my kids questions that are stupid questions. Why did you do that? I don't know. No, really, they don't know. The prefrontal lobe of their brain isn't fully developed till they're 21. Mine are 10 and under. They don't know. You don't know why you did that? No. I need to stop asking stupid questions. What's the matter with you? Why would you do that? I'm not speaking life. How am I helping them? I got to help my kids. I got to coach my kids. I got to challenge my kids. Okay. Whew. I think I've lived in this point long enough. So now we got to go fast. You guys ready? Okay. So we got to stop speaking all forms of death and start speaking life by what you see by the Spirit. And that comes by renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. So how are we teaching our kids to pray? No excuses. Oh, my parents didn't teach me how to pray. Man, I still struggle with praying. We're not going to make excuses, because you're not a victim. You are a creator. You are a creator. And you find ways to overcome whatever challenges you have. So go find somebody who can pray. And get your kids around them until you learn how to pray. Get a resource. There's so many resources nowadays. It blows my mind. And I'm a resource king. I'm like, oh, man, there's a new resource. Where's it at? I want to buy it. So if you need a resource, I probably know one. In fact, I printed you one today because I love resources. So there is a prayer journal on the back table in the back of the sanctuary, and it's for kids. And it will help you and your children walk through. Notice I said you and your children. Don't toss to them and go, hey, take this. No. You and your children walk through, and it teaches them how to pray based on Jesus teaching us how to pray. Because your children will pray like you. Your children are going to do what you do. Surely you guys know that. They're going to do what you do. They're going to watch you, and then they're going to do it. Except they're going to have less self-control, less maturity, right? Like somebody after first service said, their grandma used to say, God didn't put old heads on young kids. Right? So, you know, there's another saying that what you do in moderation, your children do in excess. Yeah, it's true. I had some awareness a couple years ago. And one of my friends told me, your son acts just like you. I was like, hold up a second. Because sometimes my son acts like a jerk. And he acts just like me. Ouch. I need to change. Hey, I'm just keeping it real. I need to change. If I want my kids to get better, I need to change. We act in the place where we have the least amount of awareness and self-control is in our home. Because it's a safe place, right? And so, guess what? My son's going to take the things he sees me do, and he's going to do them with less self-control and less maturity. I need to change. So how are we teaching our kids to pray? I learned that my kids pray like I do. Every one of them. And I had this realization a couple years ago. Sunday nights we do family devo, and we pray at the end, and we get all our kids to pray. Some of them do better than others. Some are like, oh, thank you God for today, amen. But what I realized, I didn't even realize it. And I listened to all of them pray, and I sat there and I was like, they all do this the same way. And then I started praying in my head. I was like, oh, snap, they do it just like me. And thankfully, this is a good thing. And that is when I pray, I say, I thank you, God. We don't pray for healing. We thank God for healing. We don't pray for protection. We thank God for protection. It's already done. So when I pray, I say, I thank you, God, for this and this and this and this and this. And so when my kids pray, they're like, God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. I'm like, man, that's cool. You clapping for God? Okay, don't clap for me. So, your kids are going to pray like you pray. So if you want your kids to pray better, you start praying better. And bring your kids in. Involve your kids in things. Okay? I'll never forget, I was running a Chick-fil-A in West Virginia, and one of my employees, young man, a young single guy, and he went to the doctor and he got a bad report. And he had some problems with his intestines. And I ain't going to go into details. I'm just going to say that there were colors coming out of him that shouldn't have been coming out of him. And the doctor said, you need to go home, you need to lay down and not get out of bed. I was like, this dude lives by himself. He don't have family that's going to take care of him. Like, the doctor literally told him not to get out of bed. I was like, and it wasn't good. They're like, this is what it probably is, and it ain't good. So we took our whole family, we drove over to his place, and Elijah was about 2, and we prayed for him. I had Elijah put his hand on his stomach, and I helped Elijah pray, and then I prayed. A week later, he comes to work, he says, the doctors checked me again, and there ain't nothing there. That's a miracle. And I got my kids involved in the miracle. Hey, so then I get to do this. Hey, remember when you laid your hands on that guy and he got healed? Wasn't that cool? Hey, remember that? Hey, remember that? Wasn't that cool? We got to draw these things out of our kids. Listen, there is no junior gifts and there is no junior Holy Spirit. God does not give your kids these junior gifts. He gives them the gifts they're going to have the rest of their life. They just don't know how to use them yet. My son is strong-willed. He don't know how to use that yet. But one day he will. I got to draw it out of him. I got to draw it out. I got to teach him how to use that. I don't need to tell him to quit it. I need to teach him how to use it right. Those gifts God has given him where he's not going to be deterred. He's going to set his face like flint. And no man will deter him from what God has told him to do. So there's the prayer journals are back there. We had a lot of trouble printing those. So we don't have enough copies. So if you want one, there's a sheet. You can write your name. We'll print some more. The only thing I ask is a lot of work went into those. So, and if you take one, use it. Don't let it go in the junk drawer. Okay. I got to go faster. Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The way you behave when you're anxious and when you're worried is how your kids are going to behave when they're anxious and worried. So I'm not telling you just hide everything and don't let your kids see it. Because your kids need to see you struggle a little bit so they can see you overcome. Because when they struggle, they're not going to know how to overcome if they don't see you. That's been the biggest thing with me and Kathy. She's a verbal processor. I'm an internal processor. So I'll process all kinds of stuff in my head and never say it. And she was like, I need you to verbally process some stuff so I can see how you overcome. So you know how to guard your kids. You know how to protect them from certain situations, certain things. But we've got to let them see that some. And this is how you pray. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm going to make my request known to God. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. I bring them to you with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you don't have peace, it's because you're not doing the first part. And I'm getting a little direct because the time draws near. How are we disciplining our kids? Not are we, how are we? Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We know this scripture. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. It must be important. It's the first commandment with a promise. That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Why is it going to go well with them? And why are they going to live long in the land? Because honor starts in the home. And you got to teach your kids how to honor the parents. Because if they don't learn how to honor their parents, they're going to go out there and they're not going to honor police officers. They're not going to honor their teachers. They're not going to honor their bosses. They're not going to honor the government. They're not going to honor their governmental leaders. And it's not going to go well for them. When they dishonor the police, it's not going well for them. It starts here. That's why this is so important. Now here's the part where we go, oh, come on. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of who? Of Christian. Nah. Of the Lord. I have provoked my children to wrath. I probably did it in the past week or two. We ain't talking about sometime long in the past. It's more of a struggle for me because I'm the strict one. I'm the one who's like, you're going to obey the first time because I want to teach you because it's important. Because I want to teach you, you need to listen to God the first time he talks to you. But here's the struggle with that is you can be overbearing. And you can be too strict. And you can forget that they're kids. And you forget that they're in training. My kids are in training. They're not done yet. Okay? We're not pulling them out of the oven yet. We're not going to stick a fork in them. They're not done. They got some more bacon, okay? So I've got to make sure I don't do that. I don't provoke my children to wrath by asking them stupid questions. Okay, discipline. So here's what happens when we provoke our children to wrath, when we discipline the wrong way, when we discipline in anger. What happens is millennials, they grow up that were disciplined in anger. They grow up and they do research on why spanking is wrong. And they do this research and they find out that all these kids who were spanked had struggled with anger and self-control and all these things. And then another millennial reads that article or reads that research and writes an article and then it's posted on Facebook. This is not hypothetical. I've read the articles. There's several of them about the damage that spanking has done to kids. So here's the problem. We don't know God's word. There was a girl who used to work for me, good Christian, solid Christian girl, and her response to that post was, I guess it's spare the rod, bless the child. I was like, really? I read an article, and now it supersedes God's word. That's because we flipped the filter. We've turned the coffee filter upside down. I had some delicious coffee this morning. Trader Joe's pumpkin spice, man. If it ain't holy, it's close. But if I would have flipped that coffee filter upside down and the water dripped through and pushed all those grounds into the thing, I'd have struggled. I'd have been like, pff. Y'all know what it's like when you drink coffee with grounds in it. It's messy, it's dirty, and you struggle. That's what we've done. So instead of filtering everything that happens out here through God's word, we take God's word and filter it through research and filter it through man's opinion. It's research. It must be true. How is that research conducted? So we've got to know God's word. It doesn't say spare the rod, spoil the child. It says spare the rod, hate the child. Dang it. I tried to do better, and I did worse. Okay, time-wise. So I already said that. Provoke to disobey and dishonor versus train to obey and honor. Pastor Dwayne. We got to train them to obey and honor, not provoke them. Disciplining in any form out of anger. Quit it. Spanking too hard, too young, or too much. I was guilty. Guilty for spanking too much early on when we had kids. We don't spank for everything. You spank for disobedience, defiance. They know what's right and they ain't going to do it. Right? Not when they mess up or forget something or break something. Rod of correction, not wrath. Rod of reproof and instruction. Discipline for being human. Any failing, falling, or forgetting. We don't do that. I already said that. Unreasonable or too strict. I talked about that, right? Disengage parenting. See, we tend to have a pendulum swing. And we tend to be too strict, or that doesn't work out good. I can't do that. So we swing over here, and we just pull back and disengage. We can't do that. We got to set our kids up for success. Okay, so some of you already read it. The other day, I was talking to one of my kids, and they were getting discipline, and not spanking, but another form of discipline, which is what we do most of the time. Spanking is not common in our house, okay? We do, and just a side note, the Bible says that God's scripture, God's God-breathed scripture, right? The Logos, his written word is good for instruction, for teaching, for correcting. Oh my goodness. So you know what my kids do? They write lots of scriptures. And it's amazing how they go to write that scripture and they go, this ain't going to do anything. And I just laugh inside. I'm like, you don't even know. God's word is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And you know what? It's so funny. They write those scriptures. They do those sentences. And after they're done, they have a different attitude. They don't even know it did anything. I'm tricking them. Okay. my story. So we were, I was bringing some consequences to one of my children. And I was like, do you know why I do that? I was reminding them of the why. Do you know why I do that? Because kids ask why all the time. Sometimes I ask why too much. I'm like, look, just give me a break, all right? But I'm reminding them of the why. You know why I do this? Because I love you. And the Bible says that if I don't, I hate you. And you know what the response was? I wish you would love me less. Man, I couldn't help but laugh. I was like, oh, man, that's funny. They don't get it now, but they will. One day they're going to thank me. One day they're going to appreciate that. What are we teaching them about sex? Oh, there we go. I had a little bit of come-ons. Come on. I understand. It's hard. And that's because of the carnal way of thinking. That's because of the world. It's hard. How do I talk to my kids about that? It's weird. Like, it's not weird. It's natural. God designed it. It's not that far after the beginning creation. Come on. So, how do you do it? There's resources, guys. There's books. There's children's books. You can read them. I got one at the house. That was a little uncomfortable the first time we read through that. And our kids learned words for things. You know what I mean? The real word for it, not any made up words. Okay? And then you get nervous. You're like, y'all can't say that word at school now. Okay? Don't go saying that word at school. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. But there's resources. Danny Silk has a Life Academy, and they just put one up a couple months ago about how to talk to your kids about sex. It's out there. Get the resources so you can be successful. We got to start teaching our kids about sex, and we got to do it early. Because they need to hear it first from us. And understand it's a natural process. God created it. A seed goes in the soil and a plant grows and bears fruit. That's the process, guys. It's just like gardening. A seed goes into the womb, into the uterus. It gets planted and it grows. We've talked about that. Now, we ain't got to the before part yet, but we will. That's going to be the part that's uncomfortable, but I'm okay. I'm okay with that because I want my kids to hear it from me first. I don't want them to hear the way the enemy has hijacked it to where it's this cheap thing that people do after they go on a date to Chili's and go back to your place. Listen, sex is a spiritual, soulish, and physical act. Your whole being is wrapped up in it. And it's beautiful. We need to teach our kids how beautiful it is and how we should protect it and how we should go according to God's design within the boundaries of the way he designed it so that it can be successful. But here's what the world will say. The world will say, oh, they're going to do it anyway, so just don't worry about it. Just help them when they do it. No! Now, if they do, they make a mistake, that's okay. I'm going to love them through it. And then I'll pray for redemption. I'm not going to condemn them. I'm going to love them. But I'm going to prepare them to not do that. Because it can't be done. The world will tell you it can't be done anymore. Nah, it can't be done anymore. Garbage. It can be done. I'm an example. It can be done. You can believe for that for your kids. But it starts with them understanding it from God's perspective first. So then they filter everything else through God. There's so many scriptures in the Bible about fleeing from sexual immorality. Obtain from sexual immorality. It must not even be named among you. The letters to the church, it must not even be named among you. So the very thing that may be keeping you from being a supernatural parent is your unforgiveness and or unhealed parts of you that is from your parents or your childhood. You've got to get healed. You've got to get redeemed. There's parts of you that need healing. And in order for you to be a supernatural parent, you've got to get healing. Because the very things you didn't want to do that your parents did, you find yourself doing because you haven't been healed. So here's my action steps. Just ignore that question. Okay, so number one, you got to shift your paradigm. You're a superhuman. Forget about superheroes. You're a superhuman. You're created with power. The most powerful force in the universe lives inside of you. Two, speak what you see through your new paradigm over your kids. New paradigm shift. You see what's in them instead of what's externally happening outside of them and the fit they're currently throwing and how they're acting like a heathen right now. Number three, draw out those gifts in your kids. Ask questions. Ask your kids what they dream about. Hey, did you have a dream last night? Tell me about it. Because God speaks to us in our dreams. And so you can help them discern how to tell if it was a dream because they ate some pizza last night or they watched a movie that did something or if it was God speaking to them. You can help them start discerning that now. Ask them questions. I'll never forget. It's your job to cultivate the gifts inside of them. Remember how I said God gives them those gifts in their mature state? They just don't know how to use them. It's your job to cultivate it. So a year ago, we were at a service and at the end of the service, the minister was operating in the gift of knowledge, and he was calling out things in people's bodies, sicknesses and different things in their bodies. And my little girl whispered in my ear, she's like, hey, I think somebody has something wrong with their stomach. I was like, okay. A couple of minutes later, the next thing he calls out is somebody has problem with intestinal problems. I was like, oh, snap. She just got a word of knowledge. So you know what I did? I said, hey, did you know that God just spoke to you? Did you hear what he just said? God just spoke to you. And then after that, so I'm cultivating that. I'm drawing it out of her. I'm letting her know. That's awesome. Keep doing it. And then she told me something a little bit later. I don't remember what it was. And that didn't get called out. So I told the minister afterwards. He's like, oh, maybe I missed that. How cool is that? There's no junior Holy Spirit. There's no junior gifts. You got to draw it out of them. Draw it out of them. Draw it out of them. Teach them to pray. I gave you a resource. No excuses. You don't have to use that one, but it's a good one. Teach them to pray. When to pray. All things, right? Bible says all things. Amen? Amen. Let's stand this morning. So here's what we're going to do. As the band comes, we're going to do something a little different this morning. If you want to be a supernatural family, if you want to operate and do the things we talked about this morning, and there's more, this isn't a comprehensive list, but if you want to be that or start that journey wherever you're at, then I want you to come down and I want to pray over you this morning. Who's going to be first? There's an anointing here, present, because God has already made the way. God has already set things up for you. And so there's anointing here, present this morning. And so if you want that to be you, you want that to be your family, or you want your family to get redeemed and restored, because it's not too late and it's never too late, then come down to the altar this morning. If you need healing from a past relationship, from a mom or a dad, where they caused deep hurt in your life, or a family member where they caused deep hurt in your life that came from family, then come down this morning. There's anointing for that to be healed this morning, supernaturally. If you're here this morning and your mind has been messed up from pornography, and I'll list something after this so everyone doesn't have to know that that's you. But either way, if it is you, it's okay. Because the pastor on the stage struggled with pornography when he was a teenager. So there's no shame here. So if you have struggled with that, currently struggle with it, want your mind renewed from that, then you come down here too. If you have been through divorce or a broken relationship in a family and you're struggling because you know God's is on, you've been hearing it this morning, listen, there's redemption for you. And there's also an anointing this morning, because in order for us to be a family, then we've got to have spiritual mothers and fathers raise up. Because we got single moms and single dads in this church, and they need you to step up and be a spiritual mom and a spiritual dad to their kids. Because there's a lack. God designed mom and dad, and so there's something missing in those homes. And we're going to believe that God's going to restore that and bring a husband or bring a wife back into that picture. But until that happens, you need to stand up and be a spiritual father and a spiritual mother to our kids. There should be no lack in our kids in this church. There should be no lack, because we're family and we take care of each other. Father, I thank you. Daddy, I thank you for your anointing that is here in this place. And I thank you that it's resting on these people as they desire you, as they desire to function and operate the way you designed them to, the way you designed their families to be superhumans and to raise kids that are amazing and filled with the Spirit of God. God, I thank you for that anointing just resting right now. Resting right now in Jesus' name on every person that's currently raising their families. And I thank you also in Jesus' name for those who are here and they're feeling the regrets, or they're remembering the regrets, the mistakes they've made. with their kids. Whether they have older kids or grown kids, that they're feeling that and they want redemption. And I declare redemption. There is an anointing of redemption. Receive it right now. Redemption in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, that we are going to see grown adults, grown kids, teenagers being redeemed from mistakes that parents may have made. Because God makes all things new. I thank you for those who have been damaged. God, you love them. And you do not create them to be brokenhearted. So I thank you, God, for your healing in their hearts. I thank you, God, whatever they may be struggling with this morning, whether it's hurt and pain from a parent, whether it's hurt and pain from a family member, whether they were abused, whether they weren't loved, whatever it is, I thank you. Just release that to Jesus right now. Just release it to Jesus. And as you release that pain and that hurt to Jesus, an anointing is going to come down. It's going to fill your heart. He's going to fill you up. And that pain's going to go. And it's going to leave right now. In Jesus' name. I thank you, God, for those whose brains have had havoc wreaked on them because of pornography, because of lust, because of going to places in their brain they shouldn't. I thank you for redemption. Thank you that you're restoring their brain, their brain cells. The connectors in their brain are reforming and going back to your design, the way you've designed them to think about sex and about marriage and about family. In Jesus' name, I thank you for that, Father. God, we thank you for that anointing. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, as people are healed in their hearts, as people are healed in their hearts from these pains, I thank you that healing is also taking place in their bodies. That there is pain in their heart that has caused there to be defect in their bodies. And I thank you that as their hearts are healed, the defects are going to go. The defects are going to go. The problems they've had in their body are going to go in Jesus' name. As they release those people, as they release that junk to you, those things are going to go in Jesus' name. And I thank you for a spirit of family in this house. I thank you for your anointing. Your anointing on our sage generation to rise up and be spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers to kids who don't have them. And I thank you for that anointing. You're speaking to people right now. You're saying to them, you're a father, you're a mother. Reach out to those families. God, we thank you for that anointing. And I thank you that I declare we're going to be a church of family where we create a safe place for families to come. We create a safe place for the broken to come where there's divorce and where there's brokenness and where there's foster kids. That we create a safe place for those people to come and to be who they are and then us to help them and mentor them and cultivate the things inside of them that we want them to have. Thank you that I declare this is a safe place for families. Help us, Father God, to be the family of God that you've called us to be. Help us to work together to raise our children because we need each other. We desperately need each other. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, that as we leave this place, that we will guard and protect the seed that you have placed in our hearts. And we will not allow any weed, we will not allow the enemy to come in and steal those seeds. And that we will be faithful to put it into action. One at a time, put things into action so that our families, our church can be changed and reformed, and then our cities change as a result. That's the fruit of a great church, is a transformed city. And we give you honor and praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you guys need prayer for anything else, our prayer warriors and ministers will be down front and would love to pray for you. If you still need prayer down here, man, come see one of these guys or anything else you need prayer for, they'll be down here. But I love you guys, and we'll see you Wednesday.